I greet you this morning in the worthy name of Jesus. A blessing to be in the house of God again. I'd like to turn to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6 for a text verse. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. It says there, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." I've titled this message this morning, "Walking as He Walked." We'll read the first 11 verses of this chapter. Kind of get the setting here. He says in verse 1, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." Here we have the writing from the Apostle John, speaking of Jesus Christ being our advocate, and he is saying that he is writing this to us that you sin not. But if you do, we have an advocate. We have somebody that pleads our cause, Jesus Christ, the righteous, he says. And he says that he is the atonement, the propitiation, the appeasement for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. In John chapter 1, it says that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So the atonement, the appeasement has been made, has been offered for each of us, and it's up to us whether we accept that propitiation, that atonement, or that appeasement, or not. He says that we can know that we know Jesus if we keep his commandments. And he says that if we say that I know Jesus, but then we turn around and we don't keep his commandments, he says we're a liar and the truth is not in us. So it goes on, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." Now that could almost give the impression that if you are a born-again believer and you are abiding in Christ, you are walking with Christ, and you stumble, you fall, that you're now a liar. And the truth is not in you. If the truth is in you, that is, Jesus Christ is the truth. So if you are born again, a born again believer, and Jesus Christ is within you, the truth is in you. So I like to think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I like to think that this is saying, this is speaking to a person that would say, "I know Jesus Christ, But he goes out and he blatantly rebels against God, and he takes his own way, and he rejects Jesus Christ completely. I don't think this is talking about a person who is a believer, who is born again, and he is walking with God, but he stumbles and falls. Not that we are continuing in sin that grace may abound. Paul says, God forbid that we should do that. But we are human. And we do have the old man to deal with. As long as we are in this flesh, we have the old man. And we do make mistakes. We do fail from time to time. Also, we have the new man in verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word. In Ephesians 4, it tells us that we should put on the new man, which is created in true righteousness and holiness. So we could also liken that to, if the old man were to say that I know Jesus Christ, we know that automatically the old man is a liar, because the old man does not know Jesus Christ. The old man cannot walk in the truth, but the new man can. As it says on the front of our bulletin, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And when we look at that, you know, that would give us the idea that things should now completely change, and we would be up here on the plateau, and we wouldn't have these struggles anymore. But we are in the flesh. We have the old man to contend with. In verse 7, he says, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Now, I wonder, what is he talking about? And I don't know, but the scripture that came to my mind is where the lawyer came to Jesus and he talked to him, and the two commandments that were given in that scripture, Matthew 22, I believe it is, 22 or 23, where Jesus said that, or maybe it was the lawyer that said that, the first commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So I like to think that is possibly what this is talking about, the old commandment, which ye have heard from the beginning. But then he comes back and says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, because you have been taken out of the old dispensation, the old dark ages, and you are now brought into the new dispensation, you are brought into the light, into walking in the Spirit. You are brought into Jesus Christ. And he says that new commandment is loving your brother. In John 13, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, in verse 34, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. He continues in verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So as we look at this scripture, walking as he walked, he that saith he abideth in Jesus ought himself also so to walk, even as Jesus walked. So as Christians and as disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, I believe all of us have the desire to become more like Jesus Christ. We all have the desire to walk as Jesus walked. So I would like to look at 3 points in the message here. The first one is, how did Jesus walk? The second one is, how could Jesus walk sinlessly? And the third one is, how to walk as he walked. So let's look at the first one. How did Jesus walk? In John 1, verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I like that last phrase there, full of grace and truth. That, I believe, gives us an insight into how Jesus walked and who Jesus is. Not only how he walked, but the way he walked showed us who he is. And I believe that same thing applies to us. The way we walk will show others who we are. So he says that the Word, or Jesus, was made flesh. He was fully God and fully man, and he dwelt among us. This was the Apostle John writing this. And he, being the beloved disciple, he knew what he was talking about. He came down on this very earth that we are on today, and he lived here for 30-some years. And his testimony was, John's testimony as a disciple of Jesus Christ, is that when he saw him, he saw grace and truth. In Mark 10:45, gives another little glimpse. He says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." So Jesus, in his walk, he didn't come to serve himself, to minister to his own needs, but he came to serve others, to serve us, and to give his life so that we could have life. To give his life to pay the ransom to set us free. He lived unselfishly. I believe is what that scripture is telling us. And that very same scripture is echoed in Matthew and Luke as well, just a little different writing. In Mark 10 again, verses 13 and 14, it says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." So we see that Jesus cared about the little people. He cared about little things, and that is who he is today. He cares about the small details of our lives. He cares about the little hurts. He cares about the little joys, the big hurts, and the big joys. He cares about everything that goes on in your life. Mark 6:34, it says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." So Jesus is a man of compassion, a man that cares about you. And when he sees someone that is as a sheep not having a shepherd, he will endeavor to speak to you. He will endeavor to speak life and truth into your heart, to give you direction. It says he began to teach them many things. They were as sheep not having a shepherd. They were like lost. And he began to teach them, to give them direction so that they could find the way, which is through him. He is the way. Hebrews 4, verses 14 and 15, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So Jesus was tried in every point, every area of temptation that you have ever experienced. This is saying he was tried in that. In every way, in every weakness, he was tempted, he was tried, yet without sin. A little more on that. 1 Peter 2, verses 21 to 23, he says, "For even hereunto were ye called," because, and this is talking about suffering for your faith, "because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously." So here it is also calling us to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. And it says he did no sin. In spite of that temptation, in every point, like as we have been tempted, he did no sin. And neither was there guile or deceit or falsehood found in his mouth. And when he was reviled, he didn't revile back. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. You know, he could have called 10,000 angels to deliver him and not have to go through that pain, that suffering. But he committed himself to God, the Father, the one who judges righteously. That brings us to the second point. How could Jesus do all this? How could Jesus walk sinlessly when he lived here on this earth? How many of us have sinned? I think every one of us, we have sinned. But Jesus came down and he walked for 30 some years without sin. John 12, verses 49 to 50, give us a little insight into that. He says, this is the words of Jesus, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak." There was no guile found in his mouth. Why was that? Because the Father, the one who sent him, told him what to say, and that's what he spoke. So of course there was no guile, there was no falsehood in that, because God is truth. In verse 50, he says, "And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." So he kept the faith. I know that his commandment is life everlasting. The commandment of God, what God says, will give me everlasting life. That was the testimony of Jesus. And he kept that. He kept that faith. He kept his focus on that. You know, so many times we tend to become distracted and we doubt. But Jesus was sinless because he kept that focus of who the Father is and of the truth of the word of the Father. In John 14, he reiterates, he says, "The words that I speak unto you," this is in verse 10, the last part, "the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." So not only was Jesus speaking what the Father spoke to him, but he was also living the life of the Father as God lived through him. And in John 5:30, he has this testimony. He says, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." I find myself seeking my own will so many times. He reiterates again in John 6, verse 38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Now, if we, by the grace of God, could keep that focus as Jesus did, wouldn't that make a huge difference in our lives? If we could keep that focus that whatever God says is life everlasting, it is truth, and that I am here not to accomplish my will, but to accomplish the will of the Father. God living through me. In John 10, verse 30, Jesus had this testimony. He said, "I and my Father are one." And in order for him to live sinlessly, I believe he must have kept that faith, that focus. In spite of fasting for 40 days and 40 nights and being tempted of the devil, he kept that focus. "I and my Father are one. I cannot sin against my Father. I am one with the Father. It doesn't matter what the tempter says or does against me. I am one with my Father." I am my Father's beloved Son, the only begotten Son. That was the testimony of Jesus. He could not deny himself. He is truth. This brings us to the third point, how to walk as he walked. Now, it was pretty easy to talk about Jesus, how Jesus walked, and how Jesus could walk sinlessly, because we were talking of the only begotten Son of the living God. But now we are talking about us. How can we do what it says in this scripture? He that saith he abideth in Jesus ought himself also so to walk, even as Jesus walked. Is it possible for us as humans to walk sinlessly? I mean, you raise your hands and you admit it, you sin, right? And that is scriptural, because the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not one of us that is exempt from that. We have all been born with a carnal nature. None of us are sinless. None of us are without a need of a Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He did not need a Savior. He is the Savior. But we need the Savior. And Jesus said in John 3 that except you are born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But you must be born again. You know, all of us have sinned, so it's not possible for a person to be born, come to the age of accountability, and live a sinless life. In other words, to be sinless, to be without sin. If that would have been possible, Jesus wouldn't have needed to die on the cross to take our sin, to become sin for us. But after the Spirit of God convicts us, the Father draws us to himself through Jesus Christ, and you are born again, and you are abiding in Jesus Christ, you are led by the Holy Spirit, you have put on the new man, which is created in true righteousness and holiness, it is possible to walk without sin. Yet we fail so many times. But if we would say it is not possible for a born-again believer to walk without sinning, then we are saying that God is not almighty. Because when God reaches down, comes down, however he does it, when a sinner cries out to Jesus in faith, and God does his work of regeneration within the heart of that sinner, God puts a part of himself in there. And I like to think of that as the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. And that new man can walk without sinning, because it is the power of God. It is the aid of the Holy Spirit. It is the life of Jesus Christ himself within us. And that, my friends, is able. That life is the same power that Jesus Christ has. But the reason we fail is because we get off living in the old man. And the old man is what sins, that old carnal nature. But you know, if we think that we are there, if we think we are getting to the point where we are living a sinless life, then we probably aren't. Even Apostle Paul's testimony was, I don't say that I've attained, I don't say I've achieved it, but I'm pressing toward it. I'm moving forward. You know, if we think we have achieved it, if we think we've attained it, then we probably have pride in that. And you know what pride is? It's sin. So therefore we have sinned. So I would like to leave us with this. You know, it's not about how sinlessly we walk. You know, that's not where our focus should be, about how sinlessly we can walk, how perfectly we can walk. But our salvation is not in a sinless walk. we cannot save ourselves. Our salvation is in faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, the finished work of the cross, in Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. Let's never forget that. It is His blood that covers our sin. That is where our salvation is. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, none of us will ever enter heaven. As Jesus said, you must be born again. And that is how the blood of Jesus Christ is applied. So I would like to maintain that what brings glory to God is not your sinless walk, but it is your love, your worship, your adoration of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That is what brings glory to God. When you love, worship, and adore Jesus Christ, He is your best friend, He is your hero, He is your role model, and you walk with Him, you abide in Him, and He in you, and you walk with Him. That, my friends, is what brings glory to God. And that is how, if you will walk sinlessly, is how you walk sinlessly. By having your focus on Jesus Christ, not on your walk. When our focus is on our walk, and we do something right, or it looks right, we take pride in that. And that is sin. You know, when we love, worship, and adore someone, we'll be glad to do anything that person asks us to do. So when Jesus is our role model, He is our hero, He is the one we worship and adore, we love Him more than anything or anyone else, we will be more than happy to do anything He asks us to do. And we'll be more than happy to go anywhere He asks us to go. So I would like to say, just if you want to please God, you want to walk as Jesus walked, forget about trying. Forget about trying to do it right. Forget about your works. Instead, just focus on learning to know Jesus Christ, who He really is. Focus on how He walked, and focus on walking with Him every day. Learn to listen to His voice, to love, to worship, and to adore Him. And that is how you will please God. Let's kneel before Him in prayer.